Matthew, if you have your Bibles, look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. 16 and 18. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church.
Yes.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thank God. Thank you for standing here today.
Thank you
for the reading of the word of the Lord. I tell you, just to reiterate, and maybe to go a little deeper on a certain point, a few of those points that I started with, I only really got through 2 points the other day. Amen. Some things that we can expect of a good New Testament Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church, amen, is that they'll hold a little bit of a line. Amen.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of a church that'll hold the line for God in this hour, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. We need to be able to hold the line. Amen. Keep the devil out. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so that was my first point. I preached on that point for just a little while. Amen. And then the second point was we need to, one thing we should and ought to be able to expect from the church is that they believe and preach that the Word of God is preeminent. Amen.
Right.
I tell you what, I believe in the Word of God, don't you?
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I wanted to get a little deeper on this point before I do move on. This was my last major point that I talked about. Amen. And I tell you, I believe in the Word of God, don't you?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Not only do I believe in the Word of God, I believe that it's God's Word that God breathed and God preserved for His people. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Everything we believe hinges upon the truth of this book right here. Glory to God.
Yes.
Amen. I tell you, I believe it from cover to cover. Amen. My Uncle Larry growing up used to teach us, and I guess I got in the habit of saying it. I may not understand all of it, but I believe all of it.
Right.
So, whew, glory to God. There's some of it I probably don't understand. There's some of it I may never understand. But I know this, if God says it in this book right here, I believe it.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. And I'd like to just get and simplify that just a little bit before I move on right here. Amen. Thank God for people that read. First off, we must read the Bible, don't we?
Yes.
Amen. You can't believe the Bible if you don't read the Bible. Amen. And I preached a little bit this morning on prayer. Amen. One reason why that we don't pray is because the devil, did you know the devil can't hinder God from answering prayer?
Come on.
He cannot do it. Amen. The devil cannot stop God from answering prayer. Amen. But one thing he can do is stop you from praying.
That's it.
Glory to God. Amen. So the devil cannot change one word in this book right here. But one thing he can do is cause you not to read it.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get too hard on us here before I ever get started. Amen. But when we read everything else, we read the newspaper, we read social media, we read, amen, or love novels, and there's all sorts of things people get engulfed in, like to read the funny paper. I don't know what you like to read, but when we can read that, amen, an hour a day, 30 minutes a day, and read the Bible for 2 minutes, we got something out of whack. Woo, glory to God. Thank you for the 3 amens. Amen. I tell you what, if we're going to know God, we've got to read God's Word.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not the greatest at putting things together. I've put a lot of stuff together down through the years. And amen. And a lot of times, some people ain't like this, brother. Some people don't like to read that instruction manual. That's the first thing they throw away. Amen. They throw that instruction manual away and they figure it out. Praise God. They like my Uncle Larry that time. Brother Sophie, I helped him sort of some. I didn't do a whole lot. I was just a gopher guy. He said, get this tool, I got that tool. He said, get this part, I got that part. You know, he did the work. Amen. But I remember he had rebuilt one of them old Cherokee, Jeep Cherokees for the job, for a Piston Co. Company, or one of the bosses. And he had overhauled that motor, Brother Kevin. And he got done overhauling that motor. And he said, Jason, get in there and crank her up. Amen. And he had a whole, we call them mining buckets. He had a mining bucket plumb full of bolts and parts still left over, Brother George. And I said, Brother George, I said, Brother Larry, what about all this? Amen. He said, oh, that's just extra stuff you don't need. Amen. Glory to God. Believe it or not, I got in there and started it up and it cranked right up. Amen. That thing ran, I guess, a long time. And I didn't know that the factory gave you a lot of parts you don't need. Amen. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. There's not one book, amen, out of 66 that we don't need. We need all 66 books, amen. We need Genesis to Revelation, praise God. We need every single book in there, praise God. And it's all given us for a purpose, amen.
Right.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. I'm going to tell you a few things that might build your faith. I went through some of this in the past. I'm not going to preach this entire message on this. I got some more I need to get into. But did you know the Bible was written over a 1,500-year period?
Come on.
Woo, glory to God. Did you know that the Bible had, was written by over 40 different authors? Among these authors were kings, military leaders, peasants, philosophers, fishermen, tax collectors, poets, statesmen, musicians, scholars, shepherds, amen. Thank God. The Bible was written in different languages. It was written at different times by people experiencing different moods. It was written on three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe. The Bible was written in three different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. Amen. The Bible is written in many different literary styles, prose and poetry and historical, narrative, romance, law, biographies, parables, allegories, and prophecy. Amen. The Bible addresses hundreds of different issues without one single contradiction. Hallelujah. I come to tell us, amen, this book that we hold in our arms today is the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, God has perfected His Word. God has preserved His Word to give to you and I, amen, that I might preach the gospel today. Amen. And it be powerful enough to change someone's life that's sitting in here today. Amen. And our Sunday school teacher this morning can teach us and tell us by faith Noah built an ark. Amen. Hey, great God, I come to tell us there's power in the Word of God. I bet feel like shouting. I said there's power in God's Word. Amen. God's Word is perfect. Amen. There's not one jot. There's not one. You'll not find a mistake. Somebody said, amen, parts of the country that there's mistakes in that, but there's not one mistake. 1,500 years, over 40 authors, written on three different continents, and there's not one contradiction in the Bible. Hey, I come to tell us, it's been the number one seller, amen, throughout all the time, and it's still the number one seller today. Great God, amen, the devil's trying to put it out. Men have tried to burn it. They tried to get rid. And as hard as they fight against God's Word, the greater it prevails. Amen. I come to tell us we need to be a New Testament church that believes and preaches the Word of God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
All right. I got to read it. I got to believe it.
Yeah.
Amen. And I don't want to get too hard here, but do you know, it's still, even at that, if I read God's Word and I believe God's Word, it still don't do me a whole lot of good unless I live God's Word.
Right.
Amen. Oh, I come to tell us right here today before I move on to the third point. I said I want to live God's Word. If God tells me in His Word not to lie, I don't want to lie. If He tells me in His Word not to cheat and steal, amen, I don't want to cheat and steal. If He tells me in His Word to be an honest man, I want to be honest. If He tells me, whatever, what I'm trying to say is, whatever that book says, you can take it for face value. It don't have to have some spiritual hidden meaning behind some scripture. You can take it at face value. Believe the Word of God and live the Word of God. Amen. We're living in the famine of the preaching of the Word of God. And that's why we're living in a famine of the living of the Word of God. Preachers don't preach it anymore. People don't live what the Bible says in them because we're afraid to preach God's book. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, sir.
Bless you.
Woo! Thank you, Lord.
Let me tell you something. Just because the preacher's afraid to preach this book right here doesn't take anything away from it. It's still real. It's still right. And it's still powerful. Hallelujah. If God's book says for a man to look and act like a man and a woman to look and act like a woman, then that's what it means. There ain't God in here. I got to get unleashed here, and I got way more I really need to get to. Amen. But oh, it's a sad day when we leave it up to men and women. Amen. When we leave it up to, who would have ever thought that we would be in a generation, great God, amen, a cow, a pig, a dog knows the difference between a male and a female. And you mean to tell me we're living in the 21st century? We can send, amen, things, satellites, and all sorts of things. We can land a man on the moon, but we don't know the difference between a man and a woman in today's society. Hey, I come to tell you, what we need. America don't have nothing wrong with it. That's some old-fashioned hellfire brimstone preaching. Can't turn around. Give us a man of God that'll preach to us. Give us somebody that'll stand up and declare God's word. There's not one scripture in the Bible that deals, amen, with anything such as a transgender. Amen. There's not one scripture in all the Bible that deals with anything such as that, because, amen, God said, let there be male and female.
Amen. Come on.
Woo!
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
I wish I had some breath. I really do.
Not you, Lord.
Woo! Amen. I tell you, we got to believe the Bible, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. We've got to believe God's word. We've got to live God's word. Let me get back to it here. Amen. I'm going to preach a little bit on the word of God before I get to my third point. I've only got 4 points, so don't worry. And some of you, I understand if you got to go. He's got somewhere he needs to be. Amen. You won't offend me. The Bible achieves its uniqueness, amen, through a process called inspiration. It's that process that I would like for us to, amen, look at right here today. All scripture, the Bible said, is given by inspiration of God. This word inspiration literally means God breathed. Brother Daniel Bragg, God breathed his word to holy men of old. Amen. Great God, and God gave his word to men. And men wrote the word of God down. That's why 40 men, amen, wrote down God's word. All different men, amen, all different personalities, but it conveys God's message to us. Why? Because it was inspired. It was breathed. That's why Paul can tell us what God says, and it moves our heart. That's why Moses can tell us what God said, and it moves our heart. It was breathed. It was inspired. Amen. By God himself. Amen.
All right. Woo. Yes, Lord.
All right, so God, amen, gives us his word through inspiration. Did you know that God also gives us his word through revelation?
Right.
He spoke through angels. Genesis 18, Genesis 19, Luke 1 and 2, Matthew chapter 28. God spoke through, amen, revelation through angels. Amen. God revealed his word not only through angels, but through an audible voice. I can give you 10 or 12 if you want them. Let me know after church. God spoke through an audible voice multiple times in the word of God. Somebody said God don't speak audibly. Then you very plainly don't believe the word of God, because God, I ain't saying he speaks audibly every day, amen, but God does have a voice, and God can speak audibly, amen. Hey, God in him, and I don't want to get too far into this, amen, but the Bible also teaches, amen, tongues and the interpretation of tongues. What is that involved? Amen, that's God speaking to his people, and God speaking to his church. Somebody said, I don't believe in that. Well, you're in the wrong church, amen. You might ought to go down somewhere where they're dead and where they're dry and they don't believe in God speaking, amen. Because I believe God, amen, can speak to his people through his. How does God speak? God speaks through a man, through a woman. Somebody said he can't use a woman. You don't believe the word of God. God uses men and women to convey his word.
Amen. Come on.
Woo.
Come on.
Wow.
Bless him, Lord.
If God can use a donkey, he can use a man, woman, boy, and girl.
You're right. Come on.
Woo!
Yes, sir.
Come on. Wow, it's getting deep in here.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo! All right. Amen. God spoke in the Old Testament in what was called as a still small voice. Amen. Oh, yes. Did you know in Psalms 19, God spoke through nature? Did you know in 22 and 28, God spoke through an animal? Amen. By the way of a donkey. Oh, yeah. Did you know in Genesis 28 and 12, Matthew 1, 2, Matthew 2 and 19 through 22, God spoke through dreams? Amen. God reveals his word. Amen. Through visions. Isaiah 6, Daniel 7, Acts 16 and 19. God spoke through visions. And lastly, from Genesis to Revelation, I don't have enough time to preach that God speaks through what they call. And I'm not good with this word, Christotomies, which is just a fancy word for God speaks through types of Christ. Did you know Isaac was a type of Christ? Amen. He laid his life down and he represented Christ. Did you know Adam was the first Christ? He was the first man. And Jesus was the second Adam. He was the type of Christ. God speaks, amen, through types of Christ. From Genesis, I'm about to feel like shouting, to Revelation, I come to tell us, I believe that his word is real. I believe that it's powerful. I believe it's breathed and inspired from heaven itself. I believe this word can take us from this home to heavenly home if we just believe and live the word of God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Well, and in bad shape.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. I believe in the word of God, don't you?
Yes.
Woo! I said, I believe, amen, that his word is real. All right. I'm trying to debate if I want to go on with this.
Come on.
Amen. This is only point number two. Amen. We already talked a little bit about how his word was inspired. Amen. Which meant God breathed. Amen. The Bible clearly, amen, claims inspiration for itself. 2 Timothy 3:17. Amen. Paul believed that his writings were inspired of God. Sometimes Paul would say, now, not the Lord speaking, but Paul. But yet I speak and say, and Paul told us a few times when he had his input in it. But most of the time, Paul said, here's what the Lord said. Glory to God. That felt like a preacher, amen. Somebody said, I don't really want a preacher to get up there and tell me his opinion. That's what preaching is. Amen. A man getting up here or reading some scripture and say, here's what I believe the word of God means and teaches, amen, and persuades us to believe. Amen. Now, I know what they're saying. I don't need a man's opinion about a bunch of baloney. But I need to know what God, amen, is telling me through his word. Glory to God. Amen. God's writings were inspired.
That's right. Yes.
God's super, amen, intendants of the human authors, so that using their own individual personalities, they composed and recorded without error his revelation to man in the words of the original autographs. Amen. A great God in heaven. Hey, amen. Oh, God, I got to move on here. Amen. This simply means that we believe all. Amen. We believe that the word of God is the very words of God. Amen. Of the Bible. Amen. This is the claim that the Bible, amen, is, great God, the position that we gladly affirm is the word of God.
Right.
All right, lastly, I'm going to get on to my third point. I feel like this is enough on this.
Bless you, Lord.
Lastly, he illuminates his word to us.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
God is inspired. It's God breathed.
Right.
Amen. It's revealed unto us. God reveals his word. God will reveal his word through a preacher.
Man. Right.
Through an animal. I already mentioned all this. Through angels, through dreams, through visions, through prophecies. But God can also reveal his word through illumination. I don't know how many times, whether it be through a preacher whether it be through reading the Bible,
yep,
or whether it be through on my knees of prayer,
yep,
and I read something I never saw before. And what's the difference here, Brother Tommy? God illuminated that word. He shined a light on it.
Yeah,
God shined the light on his word, and a big bright bulb went out in my head, and I said, wow, thank you, Lord, I never seen that before. Great God in there. And when God shines a light on his word, amen, and we mark up, amen, and live above sin and kick the devil out of our home and kick the devil out of our life, amen, and get sanctified and live right, live for God, and God illuminates that word, you'll be held accountable to that. You can't walk back because God illuminated his word in your life. Great God, and if he shows you that, don't ever, amen, be a transgressor and walk away from what God illuminated.
You're right. Yes, sir.
Oh,
come on. Thank you, Lord.
Man. All right. You ready for some more?
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. All right, thirdly, I got to move on here because I'm going to run out of time. I got to move on here. Thirdly, what can I expect of a New Testament church? Amen. There's a lot of things I can expect. Man, I like this. I don't want to make a third out of this, but we might. Amen. We ought to expect the Holy Ghost moving in the midst.
Come on.
Glory to God. We ought to expect God in the service, Brother Keith. I said this the other night, and I believe this. I want you to know I believe this. We can have church without a lot of stuff. Amen.
Yeah.
I've known churches to fight over the drums, so they kick the drums out. I've known churches to fight, amen, over a clock on this side of the wall or that side of the wall, or what color the seats are, the carpet is, and they do all sort of stuff. You can have church without a lot of that stuff. We can have church without the guitar. We can have church without a piano. I like all the above. I like instruments, amen. I like singing, Brother Earl. I like music, amen. I like getting the power of God moving. There's nothing like, did you know the Bible? Amen. This is for another message for another day. I preached on this in the past. Amen. But there's singing and music from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. Come on now. Did you know music started in the book of Genesis by a man by the name of Tubal Cain? Amen. He created the instrument, and ever since Genesis to the last chapter in Revelation, where they were making a joyful noise in heaven singing songs, from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find music. You'll find singing. David danced before the Lord with all of his might. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Great God, once again, you're probably in the wrong place. We believe it. Great God, if I can shout and run over a ball game, I can dance and shout over the glory of God from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I come to tell us, I believe in the power of God.
Wow. Yay, Lord.
Thank you.
Yay, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. So we can have church without any music. I tell you one thing, we can't have church without. We can't have church without God.
You're right.
We can't have church without the Holy Ghost. Sister Dottie, we can't have church without His Spirit moving amongst us. Amen. You know what it'll be then? Brother Jonathan, it'll be a form and a fashion. It'll be a social gathering club. Yeah! They pack these churches out, and I'm not being mean. Brother Tom's got me a little riled up. Amen. Great God, it's a shame that they got cafes in churches and they take their little spaghetti dinners and hamburgers and coffee and go sit down in the sanctuary. Let me tell you something. Amen. I can find it for you. I don't know it right off. But I know this. The Bible said you have houses to eat in. Amen. It ain't right to eat in the house of God. Hey, I don't even like chewing bubble gum in God's house. Hey, but sometimes I'll eat a piece of candy to moisten my throat. But this is God's house. This is a holy place. This is the place where we gather together to say, Lord, I'm in your presence and you're in mine. This is a place of worship. This is a place where we come to meet God. Hey, we ought to leave the food out. We ought to leave, amen, come on, Coca-Cola out and gather together to meet God.
Come on.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Bless him, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I know you're going to get this message today. Hallelujah. So what I'm trying to say is, what can we expect from an intent? We ought to expect a balanced church.
Come on.
What does that mean? That means we ought to have singing. We should have had more singing today.
Come on,
man. Amen. But somebody didn't have a desire to sing.
Yeah.
Yeah. We ought to have balanced church. We ought to have two or three at least come together in His name and say, man, I got a burden on my heart to sing a song for God today.
Yeah.
Amen. That's a balanced church. Amen. What if we come to church? Amen. And two or three or four or five or ten sang a song, and then a preacher said, I ain't really got any. So he don't preach. We got to have singing for worship. Come on now. Yes, we got to have preaching for the word of God. Amen. And we've got to have a burden for the lost if they should show up. God ought to have enough confidence in me as a pastor. He ought to have enough confidence in you as a Christian that if a sinner walked in that house, amen, it shouldn't just take the pastor to have a burden for that sinner. Everybody in the house ought to be balanced enough to say, that's the main agenda. That sinner needs saved. We're going to throw the line. I'm throwing the lifeline out in this service. We are having this balance to know God's will.
That's right, brother. Right. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Wow.
Praise you, Lord. Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Bless Him, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Balance, balance, Lord. Give us enough spirit of God to know the will of God. I ain't tired of being here, but I've been in services, you've been in services, where people totally flat out missed the will of God in that service.
Oh, yeah.
Because probably weren't prayed up, I don't know. Weren't in a spiritual mind frame. But I tell you, when God shows up, we ought to have enough spiritual discernment to know He's in the house.
That's it, right? That's it.
If God shows up to reach a sinner, amen, it shouldn't just take the preacher to know that God is reaching for that sin. There should be people sitting where you're sitting knows that. Come on now. Amen. If God shows up to help somebody, amen, maybe they showed up with a whole load of problems. Amen. Maybe sickness, I don't know. Maybe heartache and depression and oppression and just everyday troubles of life. And they show up and God's reaching for that one. We should have enough sense to know God's time to do a work. God's time to help. Amen. We ought to have balance. Amen. Great God. What I'm trying to say is, we need God in every service. We need Him to come by. And if God wants preaching, amen, give us preaching. If God wants to save a soul, save a soul. If He wants to lift up a heavy heart, lift up a heavy. Give us balance in the New Testament Church of God. Amen.
Amen. You're right.
Wow, hope it's all right.
Thank you, Lord. Good. Yes, sir.
I've read and I've heard where people say, I don't want a bunch of young people. And you get ready. I know I've been on this. I'm still on it.
Come on.
Amen. Somebody said, we don't need a bunch of young people.
Come on.
Amen. Because young people take a lot of time and a lot of effort and they don't give.
Yes.
Amen. Great God, I told you the other night, and I'll stand by, I'd soon have 100 young people. Amen. That's got the Spirit of God in them. Woo.
Yes.
I don't care if they ever give a dime. Amen. Woo. Hey, I believe in giving. I'll preach it from time to time when the Lord lays it on my heart. I believe if you're a Christian, Bible says, amen, from the abundance of your heart, God will bless you. Cheerful giver. And that's a good place to start. We can preach tithing, amen, 10% off the top of everything God blesses you with. That's Old Testament and New Testament. Somebody said, amen, that's all of it. No, this ain't a message on giving. But there's a tithe, there's an offering, and then there's alms for the poor. Amen. So a tithe is just a place to get started. Amen. Glory to God. Some of you getting tight now. Amen. But oh, I've got to move on here. Amen. Lord, give us young people in the house of the Lord. Amen. You know what I've prayed now through the years, brother? Give me a few more minutes and I'm done. Amen. I wish I could focus on young people more. Amen. So we don't want to have some churches get too focused on young people and they let the elderly slip through the fingers. When Sister Shirley Breedlove walks in back there, been through breast cancer, been through hell and high water the last year of her life, lost all kinds of weight, been through all kinds of tests. Most of you don't even know that. Amen. But she come in last Sunday, I think it was, and she sat back there and cried, and tears in her face after I preached, and she hugged me and loved me. Come on now. Hey, amen. That meant the world to me. Amen. I say, God, give us young people. God, give us old people that don't retire, but they refire, and they get the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hey, oh, Brother Burl said, I'm 82 years old, and I ain't found nowhere to quit. Give us a Brother Burl that'll shout his false sheep out. Hey, come on. Give us somebody with the power of God.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm preaching on balance.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
If we don't watch, we get too narrow-minded on a certain... We need the young, we need the elderly. And we need you middle-aged folks to commit. Amen. Let me tell you, one of the number one struggles of the church today, I can tell you this, because I have been a pastor for 13 years, and I don't claim to be a pro, but I've done this long enough to know the ups and the downs. I've done this enough to know the hardships.
Yes.
You can't get nobody to commit nowadays.
Come on, brother. You're right. Come on. Bless you, man.
Even in the holiness church. Oh, brother, I'll be there all I can, but I can't commit to nothing. Woo. Come on now. Yes. It's hard to get somebody to commit to teach Sunday school class. Amen. Yeah, and I preach, and I can put somebody on the spot. Chefy, you ever come there think about maybe trying to start running that van? I said, well, I'm sure some of us can help you, but we need somebody that's willing to drive that thing if we're going to have a bus ministry. Amen. And a lot of people are like, I'll run it here, there, and no. But the thing is, when you get kids lined up to ride that van, somebody's got to drive it. Amen. Somebody's got to commit. Hey. Well, we got piano players and drum players and instrument players and musicians. Somebody's got to commit and say, hell or high water, you can count on me. You can depend upon me. God, if a pastor's got to commit, then the members must commit and say, this is my church, and I've committed my life to the work of God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Well, we got a few amens on that one, too.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Woo! God, give us balance in the New Testament church.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
I'm done because it's more than much that you can handle already. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. I said, give us balance. Amen. Oh, don't let us forget the young. Don't let us forget the senior citizen. Don't let us forget the sinner.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Glory. Which leads me to the fourth point. I got to hit this and run. Every New Testament church should be an evangelistic church. We ought to be a church reaching for sinners. And I know if we get 6 or 7 or 8, or possibly 10 saved in 1 year, we count that a good year. I tell you, that's a low aim. But Tommy, we ought to aim for somebody to pray every service. At least every Sunday. We ought to say, God, give us a sinner. I think it was Grant Horton, which was Ralph and Philip's dad. Brother Grant pastored up our rich lands all those years. I asked Brother Philip about it. He told me something. He said it wasn't exactly like that, but it was similar. Amen. Brother Grant had asked God. So I originally heard the story for a soul every day for a whole year. But it wasn't quite like that. It was a little bit different than that. But anyway, back in the early days of Richlands, when it was just a small church back off that back street, that little bitty old brick church, smaller than this. Amen. There was an old pastor up there that got an evangelistic heart and an evangelistic mind and said, God, give us souls. Amen. And you know, at one time, Richlands ran 700 or so holiness, good living people. Amen. God, somebody said we can't, amen, and get folks saved like that today. Why not? Is God dead? Has God lost his power? Amen. I tell you what the problem is. We don't believe God can save sinners. We don't believe he can bring them in. You know what I've been praying? God, build my faith. Give me faith to believe God can save sinners and bring them into his house and clean them up and straighten them up, and they'll live for God.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I've had people tell me, I come down here to your church, Brother Jason, but I do this, and I do this, and I do that. And they get an answer out of me they never expected. I say, I don't care what you do.
Come
Come on, man.
Come on.
Let me tell you something. We can't get them saved before we get them in.
Right.
If you're so narrow-minded, you're worried about what they do and how they look and how they act and the words they say. Amen. They cuss and swore, but got a bad attitude and a bad spirit. They're supposed to do that. The sinners.
Man, you're right. On.
You're right.
Yes, Lord.
Bless him, Lord.
Oh, God.
Come on.
Jesus.
I want you to raise your hand this way and pray. Lord. We're coming down to the end of this service, Lord. We're coming down to the end of the preaching. I preach about all the wind of God. I pray, Lord, you'd burden our hearts right now. God, I pray you'd do a work of the Holy Ghost in every heart in this house. Help us to believe, Lord, and know that you can still save, that you can still grow a New Testament church and build a New Testament. We've got to believe that you're able. Would you build our faith in this house? Right here tonight.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, my God.
Stand
with me in this house. Stand with me.
Blessed is the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
The Holy Ghost. Feel him in this house. I really do.
My Lord,
I feel faith rising. I feel faith. 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 God, give us faith. God, help us to believe that you can still do it. You can still do it. Wow. If we don't believe, brother, oh, God can save lives and change lives and clean people up and put marriages back together and bring people out the dope street and out of the gutters and off of alcohol, we might better shut the doors down.
That's right, brother.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Oh, God.
Here's what I'm praying for. Does anybody in this house believe God with me?
Glory be to God.
Everybody in this house say, I want to be a part of an evangelistic New Testament church.
Jesus.
That believes God for what he says he's able to do again this day. Hallelujah. Wow. Wow, I feel faith building up right here. What are we going to do with this? I tell you what we ought to do with this. We ought to get up here and ask God to do exactly what I preached to you here today.
Yes.
Believe his word. Read his word, live his word, have an expectation of his word, have an expectation that when we come, he's going to meet us, have be balanced, be evangelistic, and say, God, I want to be a part. I'm going to commit to a New Testament church, and I'm going to believe, God, that you're going to do it in my day. I'm tired of reading about Smith Wigglesworth. I'm tired of reading about Spurgeon and Moody, and I'm tired of reading about these great works of the past. I want to see it in my day, amen. Lord, I want to see it in my hour. Use me, God.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, God.
Is anybody willing to be used? That's the ultimate question here today. If you do, I think you'd get this altar here today and say, God, use me. Use me, Lord. Put the fire of God in my heart. Use me, oh God. Use me, Lord, right here today.